Blog Talk Radio.
Brought to you by Satanic International Network. You're listening to the Ooze.
I'm on the cage. Every foul wicked spirit is the host, the Ooze.
20 minutes, then the rule of eight, on the Ooze, right now.
On the Ooze, it's gonna fucking rock. Be there.
The whole point.
To really tap into the material current
necessitates a certain fortitude.
Now on to our show.
Thanks for tuning in, folks. I'm T.C. Downey, a.k.a. Beast Zeno, and with me on the line is my co-host, Zach Black. Zach, how are you today, man?
Not too bad, Beast. A little under the weather today, but I think I'll get through it. How you doing, man?
About the same, actually, to be honest with you. I don't know what the hell happened. It started two nights ago. I had a few beers, nothing excessive. You know, I think I had about maybe four beers. And then the next day, I woke up just fucking feeling like crap. I even tried a hair of the dog and still didn't help in anything. So, I don't know about an amateur, dude. I can usually drink anywhere from, you know, one to two cases without too trashed, man. So,
I believe it. You know, last person I call amateur is what? Diego Diablos, and he put me under pretty fast, so.
Right on. And, no, I've been, we're about the same age, dude. I've been drinking since back in the day, you know. I think before I smoked cigarettes, I was drinking. I'm of Irish descent, too, so in my household, it was pretty common to, get a couple shots of whiskey with dinner and so forth.
Nice.
Yeah, I mean, my mom...
Go ahead, that's right.
Oh, that's right. I was just going to say, my mom... didn't subscribe to the idea that it was wrong for a minor to drink. In her opinion, if she let us have free access to it, we wouldn't end up being drunks in the future. So, I think I pretty much stand by that, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Today's topic, I know that's what you were getting ready to hit me with before I quickly ran over you, but today's topic, we're going to be talking about e-occultism and e-Satanism, and first I kind of wanted to, you know, get into a little bit of how things used to be prior to the information age. Occultism, in its various forms, years and years ago, was more specifically the practice of studying hidden meanings in things like symbols and so forth. It's kind of a pseudoscience of sorts, one that dealt more, I think, in the esoteric realm than it did and much of anything else, although it did dabble with the ideas of transmutation and things like that. So it's really interesting to me today that something that was so secretively practiced, something that was so hidden and so, I don't know what you want to say, hush-hush, has become such a kind of mainstream novelty. To the point where there are people out there that practice these kind of things online or discuss them online, but once they step away from the computers, they seem to kind of put all that stuff to rest. It's not really an inherent part of their persona, so to speak. It's more of, I don't know, something they play with, a hobby or something.
Yeah, you know what, man? It's really interesting. I come across that too. I mean, I got into the occult, the black arts, as you call it, you know, around the age of 13, probably around the same age as you. And when the internet came up, it was weird because, yeah, you meet a lot of people on the internet who claim to be Satanists or, you know, God forbid, part of the Illuminati or something like that. But in their real life, you know, they have a completely different identity.
Right, yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's a total front is the deal. I mean, and for a while, I could sort of kind of understand, you know, why they might not have the outward appearance in real life, you know, that they're practicing a cult. I mean, the whole idea behind a magical name was to disguise your real name from having harm done to it by other people. You know, but, and nowadays, I mean, it's so trivial to, you know, be a Wiccan or a Druid or a neo-pagan of some kind or a Satanist. I don't think that anybody's going to outright crucify somebody for having an interest in these sort of things. So kind of leaves me wondering why it is that there are still so many people that are, I don't know, disingenuous with what it is that they really believe.
You know, I think it became a kind of a cultural phenomenon, like the occult explosion, I think is what they called it, which was, I think, back in the 80s, when it became kind of fashionable to be a Wiccan or a pagan or some sort of pseudo-occultist or whatever. And yeah, I think that's, can be said, you know, today even more. I mean, it's people get into that now. It's like it's almost like a phase now. I see a lot of people go through, they dabble in it, you know, they claim this identity, and then when they don't get the reaction that they're looking for, then they move on to something else.
Right on. Right. Absolutely. I've seen a lot of that. I mean, I've seen people publicly recant being a Satanist, and then the next day come back and say, oh, no, never mind, I was wrong. last Sunday, me and Jason Sorrell actually touched a little bit on satanic organization. And during that time, I was talking about this cat named Kane that is really kind of a peculiar guy in the sense that, you know, he made this claim of being a warlock and a Satanist, and his whole Yahoo label was like a satanic warlock. That was his Yahoo label. And when I got to doing some work for him, I quickly found out that his external life, he was a deacon at a southern church, and furthermore, a participant in the Ku Klux Klan. So it was kind of like a double-edged sword in a way. You know, on the one side, he's got this open-minded, free-thinking, you know, whatever you want to say, philosophy. And on the other hand, he was just riddled with bigotry and ignorance. So, I mean, this is really where my kind of, I don't know, repulsion towards e-Satanism or e-occultism came in. You know, I am who I am myself, whether it's in real life and I'm meeting the president, or it's online and I'm talking dirty to some girl, you know, by a webcam, whatever the deal is, whatever I'm doing, I am me. I'm never disingenuous at all. You know what I stand for, what I believe in, and what I think readily. And I think most people are like that. So,
yeah, you know, I mean, there's times where it's necessary, you know, to maybe to hide your identity as a Satanist. I mean, obviously, like, you know, it's going to damage your career or your social status in life, you know, with your neighbors, or, you know, there's a million examples you can come up with. But typically with me, I mean, I don't really advertise that I'm a Satanist in real life. I mean, I don't walk around with a big Baphomet out. I don't have any giant pentagram tattoos. Not that I want to find one, but I don't. But if someone comes up and asks me, if I sit down and have a conversation, you know, I typically don't hide it. sometimes in a relationship, I'll play more just to be part of the atheist, but that's about as far as I'm going to go to hide my sameness.
Right on. Well, I generally tend to, I've got like a prepackaged, whatever you want to say, public statement that I use when I'm discussing what I believe with people in terms of religion. I never initially start off explaining it as Satanism because I found if the first words out of your mouth are "I'm a Satanist," their ears shut off. But I will begin to talk about some of the ideas that I believe in, you know, personal responsibility for morality, personal responsibility, you know, for whatever it is. You know, I'll go into my whole deal, you know, indulgence instead of compulsion, you know, that kind of deal. And I mean, it's pretty much a general thing that I say, but it always ends up with me explaining that, you know, the philosophical akinment to what I believe and what I think, the closest thing that you can find is Satanism. And from there, that usually tends to give me a pretty good set of stepping stones to get to that point and introduce them to what it is that I'm really thinking. But I do have pentagram tattoos, but, you know, they're not like readily obvious unless you're in my house after I've gotten home from work. And then in that case, you're not looking at the pentagram tattoos anyway. I don't do anything necessarily to advertise that I'm a Satanist, but I'm certainly never one to shy away from, you know, grabbing a hold of it and saying, yeah, this is what I am. You know, this is what I believe. This is what I think. You know, the X plus Y equals Z kind of thing. I usually let my walk talk for itself over my talk. And I know that's hard to imagine for a guy who talks 3 hours a week on internet radio, but normally I walk a much bigger game than I talk. So, you know, it is what it is, man. But
there's people go through phases, man. Like, especially when you're younger and you come across Satanism, you know, you find a new identity, you're really proud of it, you know. You want to advertise it. It's like when I was a teenager, you know, I did have a big pentagram tattoo. You know, I did carry around the Satanic Bible. I did openly talk about it. And I realized that it caused me more trouble than it did any good. But also I was kind of wanting to meet other Satanists, and this was before the internet. So the only way you were going to meet other Satanists is to have a big pentagram tattoo or a big Baphomet or, you know, carry around a Satanic Bible. And as I got older, I just realized, you know, this doesn't make me any more of a Satanist to advertise it like that. What it does, though, is it causes complications. Got me beat up by a couple jocks, stuff like that. So I just decided, by the time I was about 18, 19, that it wasn't really worth the advertising. But I understand what you're saying. I don't shy away from it either. If somebody sits down and have a philosophical conversation, I've got no problem throwing that out there.
Right on. Right. Well, I mean, I could understand in our younger years that it may have caused some, some issues if you didn't phrase it right. I mean, I've found overall that it really just comes down to wording and, you know, how you express your idea, how you articulate it. You know, prior to any experiences that I had, I was for a long time very quiet about it. I mean, I wasn't immediately outright willing to grab a hold of it. I never would straight up, you know, deny, you know, this is who I am or what I am, but I tended to try to shy away from the subject for fear of it actually becoming a more complicated conversation than it needed to be. And I think it was just really because I was undeveloped in terms of how to articulate what I believed without actually having to, point to the devil. And that's, pretty much, I think, the main trick to this here is that, you don't have to point to the devil. You can describe what attributes that, you resonate with without actually using the symbol. Now, by itself, it kind of, is cheapened a little bit. I'm sorry? I kind of forgot what I was thinking there, but I guess what I was saying was, it kind of cheapens the experience by not, getting into the actual imagery of it itself, because I really think that the aesthetic itself embodies an inherent understanding that can't necessarily be articulated by talking about it. I mean, without actually looking at the symbol. I mean, all of us in our mind, when the word Satan is brought up, we all have, a image that appears, whether it's the Middle Ages red devil with the little horns on its head and the goat legs, or it's Al Pacino's rendition in The Devil's Advocate. There's always some kind of an imagery associated with our ideology. But that, it's not necessary to point to that imagery without articulating, to articulate the basics, the fundamental principles of what it is that you believe. There we go. I'm finally getting myself back on. I mean, to be honest here, man, I'm kind of in an awkward spot because for the first time in a very, very long time, I am not under the influence of anything at the moment. And so it's kind of causing a surge of overthinking. If that makes any sense to you.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I kind of knew that this topic wasn't going to be a real long, real long, in-depth, kind of fun thing to talk about unless we added another element, and this is the element that I'm going to kind of bring out here. What I'd like to do is, I'd like people to call in, and I'd like them to describe what it is they practice or what it is they believe, whether it's Satanism or some other form of occultism. And then from there, tell us whether or not they're out, meaning it's not a hidden thing, they're outed. And then beyond that, maybe give us some either reasonings as to why they conceal it, or maybe tell us about their first experience coming out as a Satanist. So the number is 347-989-1371. For you, when did you decide to make it public information?
Pretty much right away, man. As soon as I was 13, and I come across the Satanic Bible, I didn't hide that at all. I didn't hide it from my parents. I kept my books out in the open, and occasionally they would disappear. It's like my mom would go in my room, and all of a sudden, all my books would be gone. I have to go back to the bookstore and steal them all over again. And I forgot what I was going to say. Oh, yeah, my mom kind of thought it was like a phase I was going through. She always looked at it like, oh, you're just into that devil stuff, that heavy metal music stuff. And, I was about 22 years ago, so here we are today.
Right on.
Some people grow out of it, some people don't.
Right on.
How about you, man?
For me, I was actually, I was kind of more reclusive about it, and it wasn't until, I would say around 2000, that I really got to thinking to myself, what good is it to have this particular mindset or belief set if I wasn't talking about it and putting it out there. I mean, it kind of seemed to me that, in essence, I was actually being hypocritical in a way. So, there wasn't any, like, specific pivotal moment that happened. It was just more of a realization that, you know, to keep everything consistent, to make sure that I'm walking the walk and talking the talk, I needed to really just go ahead and put it out there, and whatever damage was done was done. So that's really what happened for me. So I have not been out nearly as long as you have, but again, like I said, if anybody ever pinned me down on it, really, it was usually not too long after that I was explaining to them what it was that I was doing. We've got a caller right now, man, so I'm going to go ahead and throw them on the line. 585, you're on the line.
Hey, Beast, how's it going, man? This is Rotten.
Hey, what's going on, Rotten? How you doing, man?
How you doing, man?
I'm good. What's up, Rotten? I'm good.
This whole line of coming out, that just strikes me as quite comical.
Okay.
I mean, it's kind of like a malignant disease trying to explain it to someone.
Well, I think it's more about really just, you know, being upfront about who you are. Although I can see some relevance to what you're saying. So.
And with me, there was never really that whole coming out thing. My immediate family knows, but the extended family has really no idea.
Okay.
Friends and family, certain friends know, certain friends don't know. Most due to their religious backgrounds at the time.
Right.
And you and I have actually spoken quite in depth about what my beliefs actually are.
Yes, we have. So, I mean, it's obviously not a very pressing issue for you is what the deal is, right?
No, it never really was.
Right. Now, if someone were to approach you about what you believe, how would you handle that situation?
Depends on first how they approached me, like the whole stance they tried taking with it or the tone of their voice, that kind of thing.
Right on.
A lot of different factors have to go into that. Generally, I try to skirt the topic, especially if I don't know you.
Okay, that's reasonable.
Alright,
I mean, so I'm just kind of curious, though. I mean, you don't see any value in actually being... really public about it?
In a small town, what's that going to serve you?
I guess you're
going to... You brought up something important there, because it depends on also where you live. You know, in a small town, probably would not be wise. If you live in the South in the Bible Belt, you're probably going to get a lot more resistance. If you live somewhere more... There's one coming out that I'd like to add real quick while I'm still on my train of thought. Is some people are interested, and some people won't take the time to go and, you know, dig it up at the bookstore. But if they see you and they like you, and then they realize you're a Satanist, then they think to themselves, you know what? I thought all Satanists were evil devil worshippers and anti-social fuckheads. You know, this guy's pretty fucking cool. Maybe there's something to this. And I've turned on a lot of people to Satanism when I was public about it, when I wore bath and stuff like that.
Right on, man.
Go ahead, Rotten.
In my town, currently, there are 8 churches.
How big's your town?
I wouldn't consider it that big.
Any guess at what... I'm sorry, man. Any guess at what the demographic is?
Demographic, you mean more most of Christian, middle America, white?
No, what I mean is the number of people that are actually resident to that area.
Maybe 10 to 30.
Wow, it's really...
It's still considerably a small town.
Wow, that is very small. And I
compared
guess,
to basically what we're considered as a village.
Wow, yeah, that's awesome. And, I mean, not, you know, not in any kind of... I'm trying to really think here because, man, I mean, I came from a real small town myself originally. I'm from a place called Northwood, Ohio, which right now currently has about 8,000 people in it. During the time that I lived there, there were maybe 3,000 or 4,000 people that lived in it. And I mean, that's a very small, very rural farm area where there's cornfield for miles. You know, it wasn't uncommon to see an Amish dude cruising down the road on his little horse and buggy either. So, I mean,
yeah, I see those outside of town sometimes.
Yeah.
Like they said, man, it really depends on where you live. You know, I mean, I grew up in Phoenix, Arizona, which has a population of about 2 million, maybe 3. And now I'm in San Diego, which is about the same. So here, I mean, it is sort of, you can advertise and still be somewhat anonymous because people don't know you because the place is just so fucking big.
In here, people talk, man, you fart in the wrong direction, everyone knows about it.
Right.
I bet, man. Well, I mean, I guess I can in that way appreciate what it is that you're, you know, expressing and why you kind of keep things, you know, quiet to yourself. If there's really that little of a population there, and you may well fall victim to a lynching still. So,
at least be ostracized socially, if nothing else, you know, which
right.
I could see that happening in a small religious or a small town. It's funny you say 8 churches because there's probably 10,000 churches over here, but per population, per capita, there might be more churches where you live.
Right. I don't know. You said there was how many people again, Rotten? I'm sorry, man.
Maybe 8 to 10. If even that, I'm not even sure, to be honest with you.
And then you said there were...
People. Does everybody live in a church there?
No.
Everyone has their own?
It's a small village, I guess. That's what it's classified as.
Right.
Like gnomes and elves and shit, right?
Sorry, Zach. This is not your head we're talking about here.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. I love it when people give Zach grief on the air. That's excellent. That's excellent. Especially,
I'll get him back later.
Oh, I'm sure
Deadly.
You will. All right. Well, I appreciate you calling in and sharing with us, man. That I guess that really puts a little bit of a different light to it. You know, I'd be interested to hear what anybody else has to say in terms of it. I mean, before we get into saying, you know, hey, the lines are open again or whatever, though, I mean, you're consistent, though, regardless with what you believe, whether you're not, right?
Yeah, I've never really swayed from what I believed. I mean, it's evolved a little bit here or there, but the groundwork stayed fairly the same.
Okay. All right. I mean, my whole deal, really, and the idea behind this show was to talk about the posers that, you know, show up online and they've got their, you know, church of, in 8,000 people that only, you know, 5 of them are active members and they're only active online and they worship their, you know, fictional Star Wars god.
Actually, that brings up a pretty good question, actually. When it comes to, I don't even want to say this word, but faith, when it comes to a particular type of ideology, which do you think has the biggest issue with that?
Honestly, I would say that Satanism would be one of the ones that I would put on the top of that list. But then beyond that, I think that you could get into chaos magic practitioners. And I mean, I could be even more specific and point to a certain tentacled religion that I've been a part of at one point or another.
I don't think the chaotic demographic would still be quite small, even in this day and age. You figure,
yeah.
What are your top three? You figure your top three are your Wiccans, your Satanists. Those are basically your top two-ish, right there.
Right.
Then you have your little offshoots of that.
Right on.
Yeah, I would say it's probably Wiccans and pagans, and then maybe Satanists, maybe.
Well, I love both in the same category.
Satanists as we think. Sorry, guys. Did I ever have you?
Yeah, a little bit. I've always lumped Wiccans and pagans in the same category.
That's true. Well, one's just a little more queer than the other.
Did you say queer or queer?
Queer.
Zach, man, you're bad.
Hey, I asked.
You're bad.
As far as Satanism goes, I wonder what the population of Satanists are, identified Satanists. I would probably guess about 50,000. Worldwide?
Worldwide, are you shitting me?
Worldwide, identified Satanists, yeah, who call themselves Satanists, probably 50,000 maybe. So I don't know.
Now, are we talking the ones that are out of the closet, or are we talking the ones, you know, what exactly are we talking about with that, though?
Just people that identify themselves as Satanists, that if you were to ask what their philosophy is, they would say Satanism.
And what about the ones who have satanic philosophy but do not actually classify it as Satanism?
Oh, well, I'm not talking about those people. That's hard to say. That's a lot of people. Now we're talking millions.
Yeah, because your numbers
probably
just
not, probably
don't seem right
millions of those just in this country alone.
50,000, well, that's a hell of a small number.
I don't think it's that minuscule, simply because I know that the theistic population of Satanism grossly outnumbers the atheistic or postmodern movements within it. I think that number is maybe a quarter of what actually is out there, but I would still agree that it's a very small demographic.
See, when you say theistic Satanist, are you also including like some of these Eastern mystical, like, you know, Kali worshippers and shit like that on the side of the world? Or are you talking like in America, what we would consider a theistic Satanist here?
I'm talking about the whole shebang, man. I mean, if you ever pay attention to countries like Norway or Holland, Sweden actually is what I mean. Norway, Sweden, I'm trying to think, any of those Slavic countries, there's a very, it's very common to hear about satanic cults over there. It's very for theistic Satanism to be practiced over there. You know, I mean, to the point where it's not even anything closely resembling what LaVey wrote down. Rather, it's, you know, well, what we might call hokey shit. You know, they're sacrificing goats and burning churches and shit. I think it's very popular over on that side. And in the United States of America, unfortunately, it's such a heavily RHP-dominated culture that, I mean, we really don't get exposed to the same kinds of things that seem to be common ideology across the seas just in Europe alone.
You also look at the age of the U.S. for that, man.
I didn't think about that. Sorry, man, go ahead.
You have to look at the age of the U.S. for that as well. We've only been around, what, a little over 200 years?
Right on.
200-300, about that, yeah.
Yeah.
So,
you know, it's the same thing. I guess the reason why I don't see them as maybe as large as they are is because I think that they're kind of silly, so I just kind of ignore it. But I see what you're saying. There's large groups of to be nice, theistic Satanists out there.
Yeah, they still call themselves Satanists, man.
That's true.
Yeah. So, I mean, again, like I said, the atheistic or postmodern movements are minuscule in comparison to actual theistic Satanism. You could look at the branches of ONA, just here's an example of something a little more mainstream. You can look at the branches of the ONA's little tribes. You can find them pretty easily by searching on Google. They number somewhere I don't know, anywhere from 100 to 500 groups. That's,
and,
you know.
They're considered theistic?
Yeah, I would consider them theistic, yes.
And I guess there's the Luciferians.
Yeah.
Which I think are, I guess they're theistic, or some of them are. I think they're kind of confused too, but most of them would say they are.
Yeah.
Now, what exactly is the ONA? I've heard a lot of sort of bad things about that particular group.
Well, that's the Order of Nine Angles is what it is. And the original ONA, I don't think, actually exists. It was one man's idea to kind of plant a mem, to use his own terminology. He planted an idea to see how it would culturally spread. And from there, other people have picked up his writings and kind of added their own spin on it, so to speak, to try to describe them in the 20 minutes or whatever that we have left would be fail on my part, man. So look up Order of Nine Angles. And if you have any other questions, let me know. I'll get you some suggested reading.
So it's basically like L. Ron Hubbard with, and his Church of Scientology.
Sort of. It's kind of close to that. There's the whole deal Myatt had, the whole deal he had was that you could take his philosophy and build on it and create your own little tribal sinister evil.
So who's the original writer? Does anyone even know?
Anton Long is the pen name that was used for the original writer, and it's pretty much out that David Myatt is Anton Long. He's the guy who was the original author. He's moved on. He actually joined Islam for a while, and I guess recently has recanted Islam.
That's a hell of a switch.
What's that?
That's a hell of a switch.
Yeah, not really. No, if you were to read the ONA material and actually process through the concepts that he's talking about, Islam and its mentality is closer to his ideas than modern Satanism.
Wow.
That's just one man's opinion, but you know, I have had the opportunity to read three or four books, and well, not all books, but some of them were just simple, I don't know what you want to call them, essays or journals, but I've had the opportunity to, you know, read up on this guy and see what it's all about. And I mean, a lot of this stuff's not a bad thing, you know. Islam or Christianity is like anything else. It only really fails in certain departments, and then what makes it worse is that people take it to extremes.
I see. It's basically every group, every path has their own part to play. Some of us cross mingle, some don't. Should we go out of our way to cause problems? No.
Right. I mean, what I'm really talking about is it's a fanatical mindset that draws the closer connection between Islam and the ONA. It's just a very diehard, everybody who's outside of your group should, you know, be murdered kind of mentality.
Yeah, I can never get down with that one.
Yeah, but I mean, you can't toss out the baby with the bathwater either. There's some very deeply insightful stuff within his writings. You just have to kind of filter out, you know, the things that are the fanaticist in him.
You have to look into it, actually.
And so, I mean, and of course, the WSA 352, which is one major tribe of the ONA, they're actually, in my opinion, a lot further along than David Myatt himself was. They've begun to kind of synergize Eastern mysticism with the core philosophy. So it's really kind of turned into this cool thing.
Nice.
But if you've ever seen this girl Shugs that posts on our forums on Sin,
I think she's gone,
one of them. She does that from time to time. She'll pop in, participate in hot topics, and then pull out and go somewhere else.
Did she delete her account?
So. That's standard operating procedure for her.
Yeah, she's done that a few times. When she comes back, she'll give it a month or two break and come back, and when she gets bored, because she's really sharp, she'll get in there, she'll mix it up, and then when she doesn't see anything interesting, she'll leave, and then she'll come back and do it again. Sally, tell me people we have in the chat room. I'm not in front of the computer.
I'm not either.
There's currently 9 users in here.
Oh, well, we should encourage somebody to call in while we have 15 minutes left or so. I think Dan said he might call in. Bourne said he might. I don't know if they're in there.
I think Dan Dredd is actually, I don't see Dan in here, but Dan Dredd's actually better read on the ONA than I am. So, yeah, I mean, I'd certainly love to hear his perspective of it.
Yeah, Dan's just a fun guy to talk to anyway, so. But if he's on the chat room, I guess he's not doing so.
Yeah, but Bourne's hanging out. We've got like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 guests. I could pick on this guy, Michael, that's in there. I don't know who he is, but I could always say, hey, you know, call in, tell us, you know, what your beliefs are and if you're out, you know. Yep. Wait a minute. Sounds like Warlock Asylum, actually, is calling in. What's going
on? Hey, what's happening? Hey, how y'all doing?
How's it going?
Good, man. Good.
Yeah, all right. How's it going? All right. Yeah, I was just listening to the show a little bit about the occultism today. Yes, interesting. Yes, interesting with that whole subject. Because it seems like there's a lot of new groups out, or whatever the case may be. And I think some of them are just, you know, just into tossing ideas around a little bit. Some of them are like into what they're into, you know. But I think some of the reasons why people keep some of their stuff a little bit more hidden, some of it probably social, but I think there's this fear of being investigated by the government. You know what I mean? Behind that, you know. So I think people try to keep... Yeah, kind of keep hidden behind that. You know, I had research like a while back, like how much occultism was used. This was going back like more towards the 60s and the 70s. Not in America so much, but like pretty much around the world, like how much, you know, occultism was used like in fueling revolutions and stuff like that. You know what I mean? I guess even in the American Revolution with Freemasonry, you know, on one hand of things. So I think people sometimes they have a fear of like exposing who they are, possibly based on that, you know. But with like e-occultism, you know, I kind of see that more or less like I don't know. It's like one time you have people who are really serious. I guess a lot of people are serious. You guys are doing serious things as well, you know what I mean? But there's another side of the coin with like the internet and stuff, with just people who, you know, like read a couple of books and then mix it up with their own philosophy and chaos magic or whatever, which is cool. And they don't have necessarily have any real experience. You know, they could be like armchair magicians or what have you, you know.
Right. And I think a lot of these people are fanatic role-play gamers that somehow have blurred the lines between what they can do in role-play and what's actually, you know, what's actually realistic, you know. It's easy to claim yourself as the epitomist of the third dungeon or whatever, but you know, to actually walk that rock is tricky. So.
Yeah. I think that's kind of what develops, and then you know, people get these ideas in their head. Some of that too is a lot of, is I definitely believe in solitaire work, you know. But some of that too, I guess, is sometimes people, you know, get involved with certain things and just can't adhere to whatever it is. Like, they just give up, not because it's like a honest desire or disagreement with whatever organization that they're in or whatever the case may be, but just, you know, because they just feel like they're what it is, the Jesus Christ of the world or something like that, you know what I mean? And just start off, go off there and start their own thing and don't really have any true, like, knowledge or basis. So a lot of times you get all these ideas being tossed around, mishaps, misquotations, you know, and then you got the whole sci-fi movement going on in the movies. So it becomes, like, a little bit more fantasical. You know, people have an interest into it in fantasy. Like, even in Satanism, the philosophy of it has a lot to do with, you know, when you embrace it, it has a lot to do with self-transformation and just being aware of what really is. It first comes in being aware, like, look, you know, we're animals, you know, like the animal person. So that you're aware of what you really are without putting all these other dumb ideas in your head. And then from there, you can kind of perceive life for what it is and to go after what you need to go after. But I think today a lot of people, when I'm seeing it, on, you know, in the occult world, they're a little bit more involved in fantasy. You know what I'm saying? And don't really want to, they're more attracted to the paranormal special effects. You know, I think that's progress. And then at the end of the day, all they're doing is just wind up using a Christian template, but with, like, a different name to it, you know? So.
Right on.
Yeah, that's how I'm looking at that. But, you know, I mean, in the core of everything, there's still people who are, like, really putting their heart into it, you know, whatever it is that they're doing. And, you know, because when it comes down to it, the occult path, to me, it's just my own opinion. It's about one's own personal development, you know what I'm saying? And in the long run, if you can find people, I think we kind of gravitate to people who kind of share some of the similar interests that we do, you know. But when it comes down the line, everyone has to pay their own bills, you know. So, when that area gets a little bit clouded and people think that it's because they have a certificate in the mail or something like that, you know, a lot of what was years ago is kind of lost, you know. And, you know, the personal transformation doesn't really take place in an abundance, you know. And you can hear it, like the way some people speak, how surely they speak, where they're coming from, you know, if they're going to keep it, you know, real. Like I heard you earlier, speaking how you are today or on the radio is how you are, you know, anyplace else. But if a person hasn't come in terms with themselves, they shouldn't even really be into the occult. You know what I'm saying? And then you got a lot of people out there who got, like, psychological problems, you know what I'm saying? Even like on the blog page, some people ask me what the stuff that I deal with, you know, about certain things, and I can see that they're, like, you know, missing, like, a couple of nuggets upstairs. You know, maybe they could be, like, escapists. They just don't want to live in reality, so they just want to take another path altogether, you know. So there's a lot of that kind of, like, resurfacing up properly, you know.
Right on.
Yeah, but that's my take on it, you know, pretty much on that deal, so.
I appreciate the feedback, man. A couple questions for you. Are you out about your beliefs?
For the most part, you know, I'm pretty open to it. Like, I don't go around announcing it, like, at work and stuff like that, you know what I mean? You know, it's funny because I guess when you're dealing with certain things, you do draw people in your experience that have, you know, gravitate to that same energy, you know. In New York is kind of interesting as far as that population goes, you know, but I'm pretty open about it, you know, at this point. You know, at one time I was a little bit more hidden, you know.
Right.
And in some ways I still am because my family is, like, predominantly strict Christian, you know, like born again, holiness, Jehovah's Witness, whatever. So I don't really like discussing that stuff with them. It's just building like a barrier, you know.
Right.
So I don't really go into that too much. But people who know me on a more personal, they know I'm kind of involved with certain things. I might not come forthright and let them know what it is, you know, but they know I'm involved, like, with the quote-unquote mystical arts, you know.
Right.
Yeah. So I just kind of, like, just kind of leave it at that, you know. And then if I can see if, like, if it's someone who's, like, really into serious study, then I, you know, will communicate with them on deeper levels, you know, of whatever I'm, you know, involved with and, you know, share some insights on some similar subjects or whatever, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
A couple other little questions for you, man. I know that you consider yourself to be a gatewalker. That's like the main label there. But could you just really quick break down what ideologies are involved in that?
Okay. Gatewalking, that's more like an initiatory thing. I guess you could probably figure that's like a front. You know what I'm saying? It's like a little bit of a front on some levels because it's more like basic, you know, like initiatory things. But we deal a lot with like the Mesopotamian pantheon. It's more shamanistic, you know, it's a much more shamanistic approach. We also deal with the philosophy of Satanism. You know, a lot of people involved in the gatewalking community have a deep respect for Anton LaVey and his works, as well as we have some members who are also like in theistic Satanism, involved with that as well. You know, we look at it as like what some parts of our stuff deal with tapping into energies of some of the infernal gods. You know, we kind of look at it like from that perspective, but pretty much gatewalking, the philosophy of it is like kind of tapping into the, like, the consciousness of like different spheres. Similar to the Kabbalah, but it's more Clefotic, right? It's more of the darker side of the tree. And that side of the tree also resonates with things that are with inside of us, you know.
Sorry, man, I'm not laughing at you.
Nah, it's all right.
Was there a fuck that is in the background going off over there?
Yeah, that's all right, yeah. So
yeah,
it's just kind of opening up that level of consciousness or the subconscious mind, you know. So, like, the gates are like a blueprint for that, you know. Like, they exist, you know, like, it's like different levels of the subconscious, so it's like relative to what's in the heavens. So to tap into that, you use like fire, different elements, and it's pretty effective. You know, it's pretty effective. I mean, I had some really like amazing experiences with it. But in some ways, the community of gatewalking is not like a church, you know, because there's like that one basis, and then everyone else just goes about and adds in whatever they feel they need to do, you know, to else to evolve. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So, you know, that's kind of where that's at, you know. But that definitely has a perspective that's more hidden, you know. Like, you know, Necronomicon thing, you know, I don't want people to get it twisted. I was talking to Holmes about this the other day. We were talking online. Like, it's not a thing of like, oh, man, I believe in these fictional deities that Lovecraft was talking about, you know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? Like, we just take the Sumerian stuff and the Mesopotamian stuff and kind of align it with what's said in there as, and then build a format from there. You know, nothing is really taken, like, literally as what it is, you know. So it's just more like a Kabbalistic rite, you know, of initiation, you know.
Right.
Sounds like you're kind of using the names and everything else more like a field dressing for it than anything else, really.
Yeah, yeah, it's just like just like a field dressing. Like, there's some people who are into, like, love. I mean, I'm into Lovecraft as far as a writer, and I do see some relative to what this guy was talking about. But as far as, like, working with those energies, I was never really drawn to that. There's no disrespect for people who are, you know, drawn to working with those energies spiritually. You know, I just figured I knew a lot about Sumeria. I was studying, like, Sumeria, like, 10 years before I even got into to walking. And then I was reading like some of, you know, LaVey stuff and getting to infernal names. I'd studied like a couple of things. But when I start trying it out, You know what I'm saying? Like, you get into these, like, these emotional states, kind of similar to, like, different levels of high, like if you're euphoric. You know, and then you start seeing different sides of yourself emotionally. You can see the emotion and, you know, just different things and what's influenced you around you, you know. So it's more, we approach it more like a scientific, you know, perspective. But sometimes online, you know, you speak on it in a way where, like, the person could just basically understand what it is that you're getting at, you know. So, yeah, that's pretty much how it is with that, you know. But there's, well, for the individual, it's very solitaire. You know, they can incorporate different elements of whatever it is that they want to do, you know. But it's all about just unlocking the subconscious mind, you know.
Right. Well, don't give too much more away about this, because I actually intend to have you here on a highlight edition sometime in the near future. So.
Oh, but great.
For
thanks.
Sure.
Yeah, thanks.
For sure.
Thanks. Appreciate it. Yeah, thanks. Appreciate it a lot, you know.
All right.
So,
do me a favor. One more thing, and then I've got another caller in about 4 minutes. So, but
okay.
Me and King have got kind of a little disagreement, and I need you to clear this up for us. what is your ethnic background?
I'm African-American. Yeah.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
Mr. King disagreed with me, so it'll be nice to listen to the last couple of minutes of this show. So.
Yeah, my mother's side is mixed background. Like, my grandfather's Irish and everything like that. But my grandfather's Irish.
I can tell by your voice, so that's how I can tell. I'm surprised that
yeah.
you can, because he has a mixed family. His wife's black and his kids are half black.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Tell King though. I gotta tell King this. My girlfriend loves that video, man. That shit is like the number one video on YouTube. Like, she's like, oh man, that's a great video. Like, she was laughing at the one when he was coming at me. You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's no love lost, but it was just like, when I watched it, I was like, oh man, just because it's too looked ferocious. But you know, I take it like. The way I look at stuff like that, to be honest, and I wish it was more around occultism, because some people don't know where I'm at sometimes when I'm debating with people and then, you know, invite them on. It's kind of like the old days with the Greeks, you know, when they were debating doctrine. You know what I'm saying? You know, like, you knew, like, this person was coming at you, and, you know, the other person would come at whatever they had, but at the end of the day, it was still all, it wasn't personal. It was just about advancing the work, you know?
Right.
So, yeah, that's how I kind of look at it. And, you know, like this forum, I like it a lot because it keeps that integral process in the modern world. You know what I'm saying? Like, you guys are entertaining. I know sometimes you entertain guests and you're like, oh, man, I'm not feeling this stupid motherfucker. You know, but it's still like it's my voice, you know, and you ask some questions or whatever. You know what I'm saying? So that's kind of, you know, progressive because overall, to me personally, like from what I see in New York, and I cut it from here, it's like, you know, satanic thought or left-hand path thought, although, like, we associate in numbers with people around that arena, but still to the world in general, to America, it's still, like, a lot of Christianity, a lot of, like, religionism, and you got so many sects of religionism of that. So in some ways, it's good that we can have dialogue and stuff like that. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'll catch you all a little bit later next week or maybe a little bit later on this weekend.
Yeah, that's cool, man.
Okay. All right, Zach, I got to get your email. I probably hit beats for that, you know. So.
Okay, cool, man.
Okay, so we'll talk later. Okay.
All right, be good, man.
All right, later.
All right, we got just about a minute left in the show, man. The caller that was calling in dropped off, but that's okay because it was really nice to get a little more perspective from Mr. Warlock Asylum. This is a gentleman that, in my opinion, has accomplished a thing that most occultists and Satanists out there can't do. And that is, this guy has managed to change my mind. When I first started interacting with him, I really didn't understand what he was doing. And so I developed an opinion, which apparently was way off base in comparison to what was really going on. So, I mean, big props to that guy.
Yeah, man, that guy's really fucking sharp. I'd love to hear a highlight edition of him. Hopefully we can get him on soon.
I would like to try to get it scheduled up for next Friday, so that's kind of my goal.
Okay, cool.
I'll shoot him an email about it later, or if he's listening to me right now, you know, just give me an email letting me know if you can do it or not. He usually shows up on the show on Fridays, so.
Right, right, totally.
Yeah. But we got 10 seconds left, man. I want to encourage everybody to pop over to Satanic International Network and hang out in the chat room. It's been looking real empty. And with all that being said, that's it, bro. We're out.
All right, later.
Later.
Project. Outbreak.